In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is there.
This past Wednesday night, after we had done the third night of the Great Canon of St. Andrew of Crete, I went home, and like the rest of you who were here, and there were a lot of us here that night, I was exhausted. My knee was killing me, much like it is today. And I ask your prayers for that, because it looks like I may be having this knee replacement sooner than later if things don't get any better. So I ask your prayers for that. But anyhow, I was at home, and I was tired, exhausted, and I was thinking about this sermon. I've been working on this sermon for the better part of a week and not getting anywhere. And so I remembered what one of my professors said at seminary: when you are stuck on something, we as Orthodox are told to go back to the Fathers. Go back to the Fathers. See what they have to say about things. Get into their mind. Get into their spirit. And I've been reading lately an old book that St. Vladimir's published a long time ago, back in the 70s, I think. And it's called The Holy Fire. And it's a book about the lives of about seven or eight of the church fathers, the fathers of the church. And it's not a scholarly book by any stretch of the imagination. It actually tries to show them as human beings. It tries to show us a little bit of their sense of humor. It shows them as they really were and how they interacted with other people and with other saints even. And I had been reading the chapter on St. John Chrysostom, so I guess I had St. John Chrysostom on the mind. And so there I was at home, tired, exhausted, hurting, with Chrysostom on my mind. And before I knew it, I was actually having a conversation with St. John Chrysostom. You may take that as you may. You can believe it or not. It may or may not have taken place. It might have actually taken place between me and Wilby, which is my wild beast cat, who was sitting on my lap at the time. But this conversation really did take place. I said to him, "St. John, I've got to be honest with you, since you probably know this anyway. The Sunday of Orthodoxy is probably my least favorite Sunday of the year. I probably shouldn't say that. I love, of course, the Divine Liturgy of the Day. I love the processions that we do. I love seeing the children holding their banners and the rest of us carrying icons. I love that part of it. What I have a difficulty with is when we come back in and do that little service at the end and we cry out anathema, anathema to all these heretics. St. John, I feel a little bit like a hypocrite when I do that, because I know so many people who believe one or another of these heresies, or a mixture of all of them in one form or another. And a lot of these people, actually most of these people, are much better Christians than I seem to be. They seem to love God a whole lot more than I do. These people, they love their neighbor, and sometimes I'm the neighbor that they love and help take care of. They feed the poor. They run the homeless shelters around this city. They take care of one another. They fight for the rights of the unborn in ways that sometimes we Orthodox aren't doing very well, especially in this country. And St. John, I don't feel very comfortable coming back in here, especially right after we've taken communion, and giving them all a triple anathema over and over again. And then look at us. Look at our own Orthodoxy. We're not doing a good job in a lot of ways. Matter of fact, we fight with one another all the time, both in political realms and in church matters at all. We even have patriarchs at this very moment who aren't talking to one another, who just left this meeting that they're all having together. One patriarch had stormed out over territorial disputes with another patriarch. They're just not getting along together. They get mad. They're on verge of breaking communion with one another sometimes, it seems. And two Orthodox nations, this right as we speak, are about to go to war with one another over national politics. And here at home, our own bishops aren't always treating each other very well either. So I say to St. John, since you lived in the age of what history calls the golden age of Orthodoxy, would you please help me to feel a little bit better about the Sunday of Orthodoxy, also called the Triumph of Orthodoxy? So I said this to him. Well, the first thing I had to do was to help St. John up off the floor, because he was laughing so hard. The first thing he said to me was, "Thank you so much, Father Ignatius, for that good laugh. I was never known for my sense of humor when I was alive, but when you said golden age of orthodoxy, I just had to laugh. I just lost it. Because don't you remember your church history classes with Dr. David Ford? You actually made an A in that class, if I remember correctly. Don't you remember that two times, when I was Patriarch of Constantinople, I was exiled. I was exiled from my see. The first time was because another patriarch exiled me. He and his nephew, who is also a saint too, who's over there on that wall over there, they trumped up some charges against me, and before I knew it, a council had been held. I had been found guilty of Nestorianism, and I was exiled to the Caucasus Mountains. And there I was, all by myself out there. And you should have heard what my own clergy were saying about me. They spread rumors and lies that would have made Caligula blush about me. And there I was, all by myself. And if it wasn't for the goodwill of the Empress, I would have never gotten out of there. She got me back home. But it wasn't that long before I was on her bad side, too, because of something I said in one of my sermons. Now, admittedly, I did call her Jezebel, and I did compare her to Salome, who danced before Herod and asked for the head of St. John the Baptist. So she was upset with me, and she had me exiled only a couple of months later. And I died there just a few months later. I was old, and this exile was hard on me as an old man. And I died, actually, excommunicated from the church. Me, St. John Chrysostom. I died excommunicated from the church, and there you are celebrating the liturgy in my name most Sundays of the year. So when I hear you say, golden age, my son, it certainly was not a golden age for me. Ask St. Maximus Confessor, who's over there also on the wall. Ask him what he thinks about this golden age of the church. He was a humble monk who simply tried to preach the truth. And what do they do to him? They cut his tongue out. And who cut his tongue out? Other monks. There he was, the golden age of the church, huh? Ask St. John of Damascus, who wrote this great defense of the icons, which we talk about on this Sunday a lot. Ask him what he feels about the golden age of the church. What do they do to him after he wrote the defense of the icon? They cut his hand off so he couldn't write anymore. And who did this? Other church people. They did this to them. So this golden age of orthodoxy was a myth, my son. So don't believe that. So I said to him, St. John, yes, I do remember all that. Thank you for reminding me about all that. But still, I have a hard time with this anathema stuff. How can I, in good faith, anathematize these heretics when we Orthodox aren't setting very good behaviors? And then he got serious with me. He says, look, my son, if you are looking for a perfect church, don't join it, because the moment you join it, it will become imperfect. I know that you understand this. You know it is completely the mercy of God, and there you had to get mercy of God in to your sermon again. It is completely the mercy of God that allows both you and me to stand before this holy altar and to offer the holy oblation in peace. I don't belong before that altar. I didn't belong before that altar, he told me. And you don't belong there either. But you have to remember what St. Paul said, that God will use the imperfect and the weak things of this world to do great and marvelous things, and he will even use you and me. And the fact that the Holy Spirit himself listens to you and to me when we call him down upon the bread and wine upon that altar and ask him to change the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, well, my son, that is pure grace and pure mercy. And then he told me, he says, God knows what I lacked and that I did not have what it took to stand before that altar. As a matter of fact, you will remember from your classes that I tried to run away twice, and they brought me back when it came time to be ordained. And when they wanted to make me a bishop, the patriarch actually kidnapped me and took me from Antioch all the way to Constantinople, where they forced me to become a bishop. But as the bishop prayed over you, and as he prayed over me when we were ordained, he says that the Holy Spirit will complete what is lacking in you and me when it comes time for us to call down his Spirit upon the gifts on the altar. I know this, St. John, and I tremble at the thought of it. And I wonder that God doesn't strike me down dead with lightning every time I dare to stand before the holy altar. But I still am not comfortable with these anathemas today. And he said to me, that's because you are not understanding what we're trying to do here, my son. You will remember the sermon by another wonderful saint of ours, St. John of San Francisco, who talks about these anathemas and tells us that it means, the word anathema means, let God be the judge. And then he goes into the etymology of the Hebrew word for anathema and says that it literally means we take someone and we hand them over to God. We hand them to God. And the fathers of the church teach that that is no better place for someone who is in heresy to be, and that is the hands of God. The fathers of the church also tell us that those whom we are anathematizing today did not listen to the ecumenical councils, which were led by the Holy Spirit themselves, and they refused clearly to believe what was expressed in those doctrines. Therefore, when we have done our part in expressing the truth of the faith, then we turn them over completely to the judgment of God. By doing this, we are turning him over to Christ, who in his great mercy said, I came not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And also, he said, I do not desire the death of a sinner, but that he should turn from his way and live. We saw this a couple of weeks ago on the Sunday of the Prodigal Son. We saw the father who was out searching for his son every day that he was gone. And it says that when the son finally came to his senses and was coming back, the father was way out there looking for him already. He saw him far away from home because he was out looking for the son, even when the son was not looking for the father. So this is why we say anathema. Let God, the merciful and just one, who does everything, even to the point of humbling himself to death and death on the cross, in order that he may show us mercy. So we turn those who are in heresy over to the judgment of God, and we pray that he will do for him exactly what we've been praying that he would do for us all week long in the great canon. And that is that he may have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. And may he have mercy on them as well when we turn them over to his judgment. And we pray that his judgment will be mercy. Regardless, it is not up to us to judge them. We must preach the truth, the Orthodox faith, as it has been delivered to us by the saints. That's our part. We are to preach the Orthodox faith. We are to let God be the judge. And that's what we are doing in this service of the anathemas. And we pray that the judgment of God for them may be unto the salvation of their souls. So I said, thank you, St. John. Thank you, St. John Chrysostom, for your patience with me, for listening to me, and helping me to understand. Because I know firsthand the need for God's mercy, and I also know that his mercy endures forever, and I pray that that mercy will be unto those whom we will be saying anathema to today. So as we celebrate the Sunday of Orthodoxy today, along with St. John Chrysostom, St. Maximus, St. John of San Francisco, St. John of Damascus, who will be celebrating this service with us today from heaven, let us thank God that through his grace and love for us, that he has led each of us to the Orthodox faith. Thank him for that. Thank him for his mercy. And by this service of anathemas that we will do at the end of this service today, may we pray for all those that reject the Orthodox faith, that they also may find God's mercy and compassion and love as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory.